I am Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. Ian King joins me now. His King's Corner column appears in the 24 Hours newspaper here in Vancouver. He is the former editor of the now defunct Terminal City. His website is ianking.ca. We're going to discuss the politics around us, the federal one around the country, the municipal one around the city, the provincial by-elections in Vancouver around the corner, and the American election around all of us. Please welcome once again to the Plant on the Line program, Ian King. Good morning, Mr. King.
Good morning, Joe.
The 24 Hours column, how often does that appear?
Right now, it's been bumped around a lot because of the federal election and the upcoming municipals, but normally it is weekly.
And the website, ianking.ca?
It's vaguely active. I really should put more stuff up on it.
As a political junkie, with all the political activities going on, with the American election, the federal election, we've got two by-elections in Vancouver, the municipal election, this must be a fun time for you, is it?
I wish I could say so, but the truth be told, it's too much happening all at once. Some events are getting swamped. Take two by-elections that are going to be happening on the 29th. Barely any mention has been paid to them in the media because between newspapers and other media outlets being rather short staffed and much higher stakes contests happening, there's just no space to really discuss them. And for that matter, arguably, it's not surprising that they've been bumped down because it is a by-election in a government that's only got a few months left to live. But yeah, they're falling off the radar. The municipals would normally be taking up a lot of our time. But until the federal election happens on Tuesday, they're just not going to be getting a heck of a lot of coverage.
You're standing at Waterfront Station as we speak, is that correct?
Yes.
Is there? I don't know if you could get a sense of what the people are thinking about, but are they thinking about this federal election at all?
Probably not as much as they have in previous ones, because the whole exercise has just seemed so unnecessary from the beginning. That there's no real defining issue that the election is turning on. There's nothing about throwing out Brian Mulroney, whether it's time to change from the Liberals. There's no sponsorship scandal. There's no free trade agreement. Even the green shift hasn't gotten a heck of a lot of discussion. It's mostly been talking points going back and forth rather than any real debate on whether shifting taxation away from income towards carbon emission is a good idea. So I don't get the sense that people are all that passionate about this election. I wouldn't be surprised if turnout this year is lower than in 2006 or 2004.
But is it your experience, though, that people are spending a lot of time paying attention to the American race?
That's certainly been a distraction for some. I've noticed that something very interesting has been going on. Back in 2004, it was Canadian conservatives who were particularly distracted by politics in America land, possibly as an escapist fantasy from the fact that they had once again been defeated federally in Canada, and their guy had a much better chance of winning in the States. This year, it's just the opposite. I've noticed that a lot of Canadian lefties are blogging just as much, if not more, about the American presidential election than they are about the Canadian federal election, probably from, again, that knowledge that it's very likely that Stephen Harper will be returned as Prime Minister on Tuesday, whereas the Democrats have an excellent chance of capturing the White House. So yeah, there is... That is certainly a distraction, and I have to say, it's not a welcome one either, because as much as it is interesting to watch American politics for Canadians, ultimately, what happens here has to come first.
At the outset of this campaign, it seemed that the Conservatives had a chance of winning a majority. That's since passed. So what happened there? Did they screw it up somehow?
They certainly did. For one, they tried to run a policy-free campaign for the most part, emphasizing Harper as being competent, as being consistent, and at the same time, there were a few ideas brewing. The other way that they really screwed it up, I think, was when Stephen Harper decided to go after arts funding as a wedge issue. That may have been very popular with his supporters in English-speaking Canada, but it was a disaster for him in Quebec, where he had been hoping to pick up another dozen seats. Because Quebecers understand that preserving Quebecois culture can't all be done through the market, and that the beneficiaries of arts grants aren't just rich elite snobs going to big galas, as everyone else has said. That certainly helped deflate his campaign. And then there's also a bit of ongoing uncertainty with Harper. Take the response to the listeria outbreak at Maple Leaf Foods, the cool inappropriate jokes by Jerry Ritz, and the general sense that the conservatives wanted to let the meat industry regulate itself. This is not the sort of thing that inspires public confidence. Right. So I think that on the whole, you know, there's just not a lot backing the conservative campaign, so it's vulnerable to a few blows here and there.
And has Dion delivered those blows, or has he just been the benefactor of?
He's been the benefactor. He has not been able to. He's really not been able to sell himself well. I mean, I think most Canadians understand that Dion is fundamentally a pretty decent guy, a guy who is not given to the somewhat bitter part of partisanship that you sometimes see from Harper. But at the same time, he doesn't really inspire much, I think, to Canadian voters who aren't willing to go and read a 300-page paper on federalism.
How has Jack Layton done in the NDP?
It's interesting to say, but he's done fairly well. It's interesting to say this because I am emphatically not a fan of Jack Layton. I think he's been an absolute disaster in terms of betraying the social democratic legacy in Canada. He's a very effective politician, though. He's always quick with the sound bites. He's always ready for a quote. He never misses a photo opportunity. And he's able to constantly make promises and acknowledge that none of them will actually be implemented.
Has Elizabeth May been a factor in this campaign, do you think?
Oh, she certainly has. I thought she gave a very good account of herself in the leaders' debate, where she showed that she wasn't just a one-trick pony, she wasn't all carbon, and she wasn't all environment. She was probing, and I mean, the biggest factor that she was in the campaign was, ironically, getting included in the leaders' debate because you had Stephan Dion supporting her inclusion, you had Jack Layton and Stephen Harper opposing it, and that she managed to convince the broadcast consortium to get in was one of the few notable stories out of this entire election. She's not campaigning much nationally. She has gone back to Central Nova in order to try to win her seat. It's going to be a very tough fight for her, but she's got an outside chance at it. So naturally, the Greens have dropped off the radar in the last week or so as their leader tries to preserve the Greens' standing in Parliament because she is their only hope to win a seat.
And Blair Wilson's not a possibility, is he?
I don't think he is. No, if you look at the Green vote in West Van, it was about 6,000 votes, and that's about a quarter of what you need to win.
So she's the only realistic chance for a seat for the Greens, you think?
I haven't seen any evidence that there's another strong local campaign anywhere in the country. There was some talk that their Nunavut candidate, Peter Kingler, who was first an NDP, then a Liberal MP back in the 1970s and 1980s, might have been a factor, but those in the know up there say that he does not have the appeal up there that he once did.
In the Lower Mainland, what's the state of the seat situation there? Will we see a status quo after Tuesday?
No, I think you will see a bit of shifting. The odds are that West Vancouver will flip to the Conservatives because of the controversy surrounding Blair Wilson and the weakness of the Liberal campaign in British Columbia. It's possible that Vancouver Kingsway, which is agricultural riding, isn't it, Joe?
Yes, it is, yes.
May flip from Liberal to New Democrat. Don Davies has been running a very energetic campaign for some months now. And while Kingsway certainly isn't as NDP friendly as it used to be, it's very winnable for them. Again, the Liberals are weak. And Van Dion has not campaigned well in British Columbia, and so there is the possibility that Kingsway will flip. Vancouver Centre may flip, but it's likely to go Liberal in the end. Vancouver Quadra is, again, a very tight two-way. One interesting race may actually be New Westminster Coquitlam, where Yona Kim Martin is running for the Conservatives against NDP MP Don Black. There is a very large Korean-Canadian population out in Coquitlam, so in that riding, something around 5,000 or 6,000 residents. And if they vote en masse for Martin, she may take that seat back from the New Democrats. Outside the Lower Mainland, Sandwichville Islands is definitely one to watch because of the fact that Julian West, who, in full disclosure, is an acquaintance of mine and who has been the title's campaigner for electoral reform, he had to drop out after allegations that he exposed himself to young girls 12 years ago. When he dropped out, that meant that the situation that had allowed the Conservatives to hold the Sandwichville Islands, where the non-conservative vote was split, that's no longer so much of a factor. If Penn can pick up most of the NDP voters who would have voted for West, she may win that seat, and Sandwich Gulf Islands will be something other than reform or conservative for the first time since 1988.
It seems to me that it'll be a late night on Tuesday. Is that your sense of it?
Yeah, I do think it will be a late night on Tuesday. What we'll be looking for is the composition of the government. There's still an outside chance that the Liberals could pull off a squeaker of a win. The gap between the two parties has been closing, and there is the concern that some of the conservative support is not all that efficient. When you think of their 60%+ support in Alberta, that's much more than they need. So when you look at national polling numbers, you have to think of the Tories as being a point or two lower than what the pollster is reporting. What we'll also be looking for is how the Liberals do. If they go up, Stephen Dion's leadership is probably safe. If they stay the same, he may be safe. If they lose more than about 10 seats, he may be resigning. I know some new Democrats I've talked to think that they'll actually resign. We're thinking that he would resign on election night. But this was 2 weeks ago, before Dion bounced back somewhat. So who knows how that's going to go out. It'll be interesting to see what the NDP does. They're still flirting with the 20% ceiling that has dogged that party since its creation. Right, he can't seem to break through there. He may be able to pick up a half dozen seats or so, but he's unlikely to match the results of 1988 when they won 43 seats out of 295.
If Stephen Harper loses seats on Tuesday, is his leadership still a lock?
No. His leadership is definitely a lock. One of the great weaknesses of the Conservative Party is that it is the Harper Party. There is no obvious contender to replace him. But part of that is a function of the fact that conservatives have, for a very large party, they have terrible bench strength. The loss of David Emerson as foreign affairs minister is it's a blow not just for the Conservative Party, but for Canada itself, because if the Conservatives are returned, who's going to be the foreign affairs minister? Who in that caucus has the qualifications to do that? The good thing about Emerson is that he's extremely intelligent. He's managed very complex projects before, and he took the foreign affairs file quite well because he is inherently talented. There is nobody remotely that talented in the Conservative caucus, and they haven't developed their bench through the last two and a half years. There have been no ministers who have really grown into the job, and so instead you've got Jim Flaherty, John Baird, a couple of brawlers from the Ontario Conservatives, some young Church who have been politicians all their lives. But again, where is the Conservative equivalent of, say, John Manley or Anne McClellan or Lloyd Answorth? Where are the smart policy people in that caucus? They haven't really come to the fore, and that really does bother me, especially because we are going into a rough time. We're in Afghanistan for at least 2 more years. The markets are shaky, and you know, is this really a team that's able to lead Canada? The Liberals, for all the criticism Liberals get in, we all have a much stronger bench than the Conservatives have.
So you don't think that they'd bring back Maxime Bernier?
No, I don't think that. Nor do I think they'd bring back Peter McKay. The only person in the Congress who I can think of who could handle the foreign affairs file might be Jim Prentice. I don't know how much foreign affairs experience he has had, but he's reasonably intelligent.
To close, Ian, the municipal election, I guess we're still a long ways away from that, so we won't pay attention to that.
Not too long. As soon as the federal campaign is over, we're going to have 31 days until the municipals happen in British Columbia, and that's going to be a very exciting race, at least in the city of Vancouver.
And in Vancouver, have you a sense of who's leading or who will win that?
In Vancouver?
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like Gregor Robertson and Vision are ahead. I've heard predictions, and again, this is from inside the party, so you've got to take it with a grain of salt, that Gregor could attract as many as 100,000 voters on election day. To give you an idea of how big of a win that would be, Larry Campbell only pulled 80,000 in his landslide in 2002. So if it does go Vision's way, it could go big, but I would not underestimate the NPA.
Ian, it's been fun having you on again. We'll have you on again in the future, and I appreciate this.
No problem, Joe.
24 Hours is where you can read him. IanKing.ca is his website. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plana.